When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts on the line of a cartoonist. And fundraising, Kickstarter, Indiegogo. I guess it's not a fad because people are continuing to use them and more projects are being funded successfully. And wouldn't you know it, not just devices to improve the functionality of your smartphone. After all, comics projects, comics schools, comics events are all being successfully funded through this service, which makes us say, hello, we found the answer. There's a new way to self-publish and create and participate in this medium of comics, and it's as simple as asking for a handout, right? No, I do want to say that joke aside, I do want to approach this thing, this subject of fundraising, with a bit of a devil's advocate eye, a cynical point of view, and then counter it with a few positive spins on this thing, looking at it from all angles if possible. Because it's an interesting subject, but I do think that the danger lies in any new technology, any new service or approach to things as being some kind of simple answer to success. Just there's always a temptation, and I think this is a perfectly human temptation, to think that some new technology or service is just going to alleviate a lot of problems. When and often they do alleviate problems, but they also present a new question, a new challenge, right? So like the Square Reader for your smartphone, you plug in this thing into the headphone jack of your smartphone, and now you can accept credit card payments at conventions and events and things like that. Well, hey, we did it. Now we can make lots of money at conventions. Well, yes, it has lowered a bar to entry to accepting payments in a variety of ways. But now that just means it's that much more important that you do smart and effective marketing, advertising, promotion of your product or book or whatever you want to call it in order to make those transactions, right? Now you have even one less excuse. That's a way to look at it. Now you have one less excuse for your project to be successful. And I do want to say that I'm looking at this subject from a very personal standpoint as well, is that, yeah, the same pressure's on me to really think hard about how I'm getting the message out about my project so that they can be more successful, because like everybody, I have one less excuse. So let's look at fundraising, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and I want to back up looking at this and start with a premise that gets kicked around a lot by the cynics. Is that most people reading webcomics or enjoying comics content online or through mobile devices or getting their comics content beyond the comic store or the bookstore, a common premise thrown out is that most of those people are practitioners in one way or another, right? An old joke, the only people reading webcomics are other webcomics creators. I don't think that's true. I think it can sometimes feel that way, especially when you look at your Twitter follow list or look at the people who are friending you on Facebook. You go to a convention and you don't sell very much, but you do a lot of trading, right? That kind of thing happens. And it could easily bewilder us into this kind of cynical point of view that the only people who are enjoying comics are making comics too. It's an insular little incestuous group. And that viewpoint, when looking at Kickstarter, could be seen as, you could be accused of, you're just recycling money around between your fellow cartoonists to fund various projects, right? It certainly can seem that way. But here's another way of looking at it. Even if we accept that as being true, I don't, but I think that is a little bit simplistic, but even if it is true, then another way of looking at that is, well, yes and yes, I am using my leverage. I'm leveraging my status or clout within this group of comics creators to get backing to make this thing come to life so that it can reach new non-practitioner readers. That's a way of looking at it. But that raises another question altogether. Like when I was talking about the square reader earlier, it lowers the bar to entry so that people come up and say, hey, do you take credit cards? Yes, you can take credit cards. If you can achieve funding for a project now, then the next step is how are you going to reach those new readers through this project, right? If you're going to use Kickstarter as your publishing backer, right? Because like the whole advantage to going through a publisher is that they have marketing capabilities, they have distribution capabilities. They can make people aware of the book because they want it to be successful too. So you produce the book, maybe you get an advance, a la Kickstarter, a la Indiegogo. But then you're still a self-publisher. So now you have to figure out how to get this book to people. Yeah, you got the book made, you got it funded, you got it made, and you got all these prizes given away. But how are you going to get this book to the people to make it sustainable? So it's not just a constant round of fundraising all the time. So you're not just doing like a PBS thing every 6 months. Hey, fund my next thing, fund my next thing. You want to also make this, at least speaking for myself personally, if I were to use a Kickstarter or Indiegogo campaign for a comics project, I would also try to figure out, okay, once the thing is funded so that it can be created, how can I get this to an audience? So that challenge has not been removed. So in other words, fundraising is not a panacea. It's not a cure-all. It's not going to just magically fix this whole publishing thing. There was an article in Publishers Weekly. Let me look it up real quick. And I can link to it in the show notes. When was it? It ran on June 7th, and my friend Dan Mishkin pointed me at it. And the headline was, Is Kickstarter the number 3 U.S. indie graphic novel publisher? And it cited some interesting information on that. But a publisher, historically, is somebody who not only funds projects and prints projects and makes them see the light of day, but a publisher gets the project to the audience. You know, I talked about this with Dave Roman and Raina Telgemeier and David Malky on Comics Are Great, episode 14, where we talked about how, you know, the publisher, even the publisher, if they have more successful titles than yours, you can't count on them to push it as hard as you're going to push it. You are the person who cares most about your project. Therefore, you have to figure out what kinds of angles you can use to get it to the right people. So Raina Telgemeier talked about this really great idea of niche marketing. Krishna Sadasivam of PCWeenies.com has talked about this in the past. Targeting your audience, your niche audience, to try to build that overall audience for your project. And, you know, Raina Telgemeier talked about taking Smile, which is a graphic novel. It's a memoir, but it's got a lot of the story is about dental surgery. So she targeted orthodontists and dentists and seeing if she get the book carried in their offices. Rob Worley of Scratch9.com has a comic about a house cat that is sort of like a super agent who can summon any of his 9 lives to support him in any kind of mission. And it's like another cat will appear. And he went to pet shows to sell his book, and he was successful with that. Krishna Sadasivam of PCWeenies.com talked about taking his books to tech shows, you know, tech conferences and things like that, targeting your audience. So that's the kind of thinking. Again, there's no one cure-all solution. There's no one strategy that somebody employed that you can say, oh, now you can do that too. But there's a sort of a general way of thinking of not trying to just rely on Twitter, Facebook, web sales, and conventions to get the word out, but also trying to figure out new inroads to new audiences. Because as we've been discovering over the last couple of years, comics is reaching a wider and wider audience. And how can we keep punching at the edges of that bubble to reach that those new audiences, right? So this is something that I would suggest, at least something I'm going to keep in my mind, if I do decide to go with a fundraising campaign for myself in the future, is all of the both Indiegogo and Kickstarter. There's probably more than them, but those are the two I'm familiar with. Both of them encourage you to create a video to sort of plea for the funding, like make your case for why you deserve this funding, and, you know, throw in the giveaways, like the prizes, the pledge prizes that you get for supporting this project. And in as an aside, as an asterisk sidebar issue here, my joke at the top about asking for handouts, that's the thing that differentiates Kickstarter and Indiegogo in my mind. The cynic can come in and say, yeah, you're just asking for handouts, but the fact that you're giving prizes for support shows that it's not asking for handouts, right? But on top of the handouts, another layer to this, and this is one of the reasons that I think the Upfair fundraiser was successful, is you also, I think, have to make a case for how is the money that you're putting up for this thing going to create something that's sustainable, something that will move beyond. How will your dollars or euros or whatever funding you put into this, how will they be stretched to achieve more value than the actual monetary value? In other words, if you're asking to fund a project, my thinking is, at least right now, is that you need to also throw in a little case for, and this is how I'm going to promote it. This is what strategies I'm going to use to reach new audiences. This is my pledge to you. For your support, I'm going to go this extra mile to make sure that this book not only gets sold to you, but also to new audiences. This is how I'm going to make this thing into a sustainable, I don't want to say career, what's the word for it? A sustainable product line, a sustainable series, a book that is going to reach an intended audience. So in other words, you're not just paying to make the book come to life. You are creating the environment where this book can reach the audiences that it needs to. And then you're acting like a self-publisher, in my estimation. And in that sense, Kickstarter and Indiegogo are not just, they're not the publisher itself, but they're one facet, they're one sort of plug-in in an overall publishing model, whether you're using Kablam in Indiegogo, whether you're using Lulu.com in Indiegogo, whether you're using Comics Monkey, Kablam's distribution service, or whether you're using some kind of partnership with other organizations to get this book distributed. Like, for instance, when I did the Captain Seriously book, which was a coloring comic book that got distributed to second grade classrooms. So I worked with Seriously, I created the book with them, and then our distribution model is actually going and doing school visits and handing the book hand to hand to over 500 kids in one day. Whatever kind of special strategy you have, I think that that might be worth sharing in order to help make people aware that you're not just asking for a handout to pay your printing costs. You're not just asking for a handout to cover your operating expenses to pay the artist to draw the thing, but also take it to the next level. And you are sort of being a venture capitalist to an extent, but that's an inaccurate statement because a venture capitalist actually invests and gets a return on their investment. The return that you're promising is that your support or the support of your backers is creating a new project that will further broaden the scope of the comics buying public. Gosh, I think that's a really cool angle to play. And I think it's an angle, but it will only come across as being crass if you don't mean it. If you're sincere and you really are committed to this idea, then I think you got something there that will drive backers and get people to stand behind you, because at that point you're not just fighting for your own project, you're also fighting for all comics. Maybe this is me speaking as from the standpoint of the comics advocate, and perhaps this is the whole I have a hammer and every problem's a nail kind of scenario, but I don't think that's a bad card to play, because I personally think that when any comics project succeeds, it benefits all comics. This isn't a competition for some kind of little tiny space at the top. This is a goal to broaden the reach of all comics projects, to find more and more people who, let's take, for instance, what inspired this discussion was the Hero Code Kickstarter campaign by Jamie Gamble and Jonathan Rector. Now, I'm going to try to get them on Art and Story. We'll see if we can. And then if that's the case, then this Thunder Punch will be sort of like a preliminary statement to stuff I want to explore in a discussion with them. But the Hero Code, I think it's, well, let me look it up. I think it's theherocode.net. Well, let me just look it up online. Jamie Gamble. The Hero Code number one. Oh, I got me to the Kickstarter campaign. But it's Kickstarter projects. Oh man, it's a huge number. And then the address, I'll just link to this in the show notes. But anyway, we'll take theirs for example, because they, like I said, they inspired this conversation. This is a comic that is a superhero comic. It's aimed at a little bit of a broader audience than Marvel and DC stuff. And so, if their comic succeeds, then somebody's going to read that. And some kid will read that, hopefully, and they're going to say, gosh, this was fun. I wish I could read more comics like this. Well, now they're going to go looking for more comics. That's what I'm talking about. It's not like you open up the Hero Code and it's got all this advocacy stuff in it, but it being a successful project means that more people will hopefully go seeking out more comics, finding that new comics lover out there. So I think that that's an implicit part of the whole thing that maybe needs to be made a little bit more explicit in future campaigns. At the very least, I think what it would do is it would go to prove to your audience, to your backers, that you're serious about this and that you're not going to waste their money. That might be a cool card to play. And there's more to think about this as well, I'm sure. And that's where taking it to a full art and story episode would probably be very useful and fruitful. So if we do this discussion on art and story, why don't you guys email us your preliminary thoughts to artandstory@gmail.com. At tweet us on Twitter. It's Art and Story on Twitter. Or post in the forum, and we'll be glad to take your thoughts into consideration as we try to break it down amongst ourselves. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We couldn't do it without you. And I don't have anything. There is one little minor announcement to make at the end. I was just notified that the last three episodes of Comics Are Great are finally edited and ready to be distributed. I should have them early next week. So might want to check comicsaregreat.com in the next couple days to see when those episodes go live. Or just follow me on Twitter, Jersey on Twitter, and I will make announcements about when those episodes are live. Posted this on my Facebook page, facebook.com/comicsaregreat. And if you're interested, there's an hour-long interview with me about my career in comics and my thoughts on the comics industry and the future of the industry and thoughts that went into making all my projects. It is an hour, so I don't expect anybody to want to listen to that or watch it unless they really are interested in things that I have to say. But if you're listening to this, you probably are. So you can check that out. That's on Vimeo. But again, the post is on my Facebook page to get to it. So, I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily, and until then, remember everybody.
Orko certainly had an exciting lesson in history today. Of course, chances are most of you won't have the same opportunity to meet any of those famous people who lived long ago, but even so, remember that just like you, they were very real. For the most part, the people we read about in history books led pretty exciting lives. And that's why, to me, history is like, well, it's like a great adventure story. And the best part is that it really happened. Well, see you soon.